This call is being recorded.
We're talking to Todd Patterson, a gospel artist, author, and a man whose life will soon become the subject of a movie. Mr. Patterson is the author of The Testimony, The Message, and The Victory, Deliverance from Evil. Rolling Out is happy to speak with him today about his life and his book. Mr. Patterson, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Great. Now, tell us originally where you are from.
I'm originally from Bridgeport, Connecticut, and I also lived in Brooklyn, New York in the summers. Winter time in Connecticut and the summers with my dad in Brooklyn.
And you talk about your life and how you made some mistakes at early points in your life. What happened in your life that led you to the brink of fame and then to prison and then to deliverance?
Well, I was brought up in a, I guess you can call it a generational curse environment. And believe it or not, a vast amount of our society are suffering from those strongholds, and they don't know it. You know, like the Bible says, many perish from lack of knowledge. So I was one of those little kids that went through them circumstances. But because my mother was a churchwoman, my stepdad was the opposite. He was a gangster, drug dealer, pimp, whatever you want to call it. So I was basically brought through the wilderness in such a way where I was being developed all this time, didn't know it, to be a living testimony to help lost souls develop a relationship with Christ like never before.
Now, you talk about generational curses. Can you explain that a little bit?
Well, you know, if you remember, Satan's biggest form of trickery is to get us to think that contamination and corruption is natural, and, you know, by trends and so on. And that's what happens, and now we're living in a world that anything goes. And all the morals and ethics are gone, so we don't know how to love on each other and support each other and lift each other up. That doesn't cost us a dime, you know, it's just practicing the goodwill of Christ, you know. That's what happened with me when I was a lost soul. When I didn't know better, I was a thug and thought it was cool, you know, to be bad, and realized that bad was spreading a lot of poison, and instead of building in life, I was tearing down. So, you know, I just wanted to reiterate that to people that are lost in society that are trying to find their way.
Now, from what I was reading about your life and a little bit about the book that's available through Amazon, had an opportunity with gospel music, and somehow that got messed up, and you wound up going to prison. Is that correct?
Well, like I said, it's a pretty intense story. You got to read the book, check out the movie, or even listen to the music, because all three coincide with each other. It's an assignment, it's a testimony, it's a project that's set up to inform our people of who God is and why he is. Don't mean to get off the subject, but I started off doing R&B music and produced a lot of acts back in the day, pretty good acts. You know, I was behind the scene and I got paid. So when I went through this journey that was orchestrated in a way through Christ, with Christ, should I say, it was really powerful for me to start converting my life over to doing the kind of music that's going to teach somebody how to live, kind of music that's going to create a legacy to pass down to my grandkids and their kids and you know, all anybody who needs to be informed about the difference between what Satan will try to do in your life and what God will do.
What inspired you to write your book?
Believe it or not, when I was going through the trial and the tribulation situation, I was really wasn't writing a book. I was writing to a DA, the judge, GBI, and those type of people. And you know, because I was really dealing with a situation that was really different from anything that I've ever experienced. As you read in the book, but when I found out the whole reason why I went through that, I developed a relationship with Christ where I became a friend of Christ and not just a child. And it's a very powerful anointing and the experience that I can't shake if I wanted to.
But what led to your incarceration? What happened?
Well, like I said, when I was raised up in the hood by this particular gentleman who I loved, he loved me too. He just didn't know better. He sent us to a school outside the hood, and I got the chance to see how everybody else was living, you know, on the other side. You know, he had money because he was a dealer or whatever, but he spent his money and invested us to go to good schools. And when I came home, I see drug dealers, junkies, you know, people getting robbed, still gangbangers, all this and that. They were, it was almost normal because I knew who the gangbangers was, I knew who the drug dealers was, I knew who the basketball stars was, and the musicians. You know, we all had our parts, and you had good guys and you had bad guys, but we were all influenced under a society of corruption, which was, back in our days, it was like mafia type stuff and so on, you know. So when I went through that situation, when God took me through his journey, he used a woman who he knew that I would try to protect like I did my sisters. When my stepdad ended up getting locked up and doing 7 years, I was left home with four sisters and a mom, and I had became hard and ruthless to the point where I could do just about anything to protect my family. I thought it was natural for me to take any precaution there was to protect my family. So being that type of person, I guess, because God knew who I was, he wanted to develop me and make me into a warrior from someone who's seen the darkness, who lived it, who didn't have that kind of heart, and how to help someone else walk their way up out of that situation and to prosperity, to knowledge, wisdom, understanding, faith, undeniable faith, I have to say. And because when you hear some of the stories that's in the book and some of the things that happen, man, it will astonish you in such a way, because it freaks me out even today when I think about how God orchestrated certain things and blessed me through it all because of my faith.
And what role has redemption played in your life?
It played an excellent role. I mean, I had to have the renewing of the mind. I had to learn who I was. For example, in the book, I'll give you this part. It was a time where my son that was just born, at this particular time, he was going to be born. I was worried about if these wicked type of people that were dealing outside of my situation who actually use kids in a human trafficking type situation. And I guess my son was the next nominee up, according to what they were doing. And, you know, I was locked up and I couldn't do a thing. I couldn't help my son, and I had a very special bond and relationship with him as a baby, because I used to put him to sleep a certain way that when I got locked up and I couldn't get to him, he actually was in, it was in God's hands to protect him. So the Lord asked me, he said, you know, if you trust and believe in me and you're loving me the way you say you do, then if I can give my only begotten son, you could trust me to protect yours. And then I said, and then he also said to me, I said, well, Lord, I just want to know if my son's alive. I just want to know if he's okay. You know, I don't know why I'm here. I know you, I've done good. I've presented hurt to you. And he says, if you love me, like you say you do, then you can trust and believe. So I basically gave up and gave in. And he also said to me, he says, you remember when you were out there having reckless sex and just doing things abrupt and thinking it was consensual, but it was hurting people. He says, this is how a couple of the women that you've dealt with had abortions, how they felt when they could have had their first son's birthday. It was my son's first birthday, and I was just weeping that night. So I wrote,
go ahead.
So I wrote to every woman that I've hurt or messed up because of my different mindset and the person that I was, and just told them I was just suffering under a curse. You know, I didn't understand. I didn't know better. And, you know, when I went through this journey, when I met this young lady, her mother had actually sold her to a phony pastor, and he exploited her. She had 10 pregnancies. 8 of the babies were somehow either disposed of or used as human sacrifice because it was written off as abortions, miscarriages, and I know for a fact myself, because I experienced it for the first time seeing this type of thing, where they tried to make an attempt to get my child. And so when I went through this journey and met this particular lady, the guy that was influenced over her actually had me locked up in 5 different ways where I was facing 50 years in jail. And every time I stepped out to get bonded out, because I knew I was innocent, everybody else knew I was innocent, I would have to turn around and get locked right back up, because they've come up with some tremendous type of story of I was holding my fiance hostage or something in the basement, anything. So basically, you know, I ended up back in there, and I ended up for a while until I went through this whole journey. And when you, like I say, when you listen to the book, or I mean, read the book, and or listen to the CD, or even check out the movie, you will know how to develop ultimate faith, trust, strength, power, knowledge, and wisdom, and love, and know that you don't have to be overwhelmed, because there's a God that loves us all. All we have to do is trust and believe in Him and accept Him.
What is the name of your CD?
The Last Days.
And how is that available?
You can get it on iTunes, ToneCore. There's a few other entities. They just started releasing it recently, so you have to kind of look it up on the social website.
Now, tell me about the movie. What is the name of the movie? Is it out now? How can it be? How can people get a copy of it?
Well, the movie comes. It comes from the book. The book is the testimony, the message, and the victory. And the movie is basically everything from the book, but you can actually visualize it and actually feel it and walk through it and see how real it is. It sounds spooky and scary a little bit, but it's not. It's really a total victory. It's just having a relationship with Christ, how you can trust Him to walk through almost anything. And when you have that kind of relationship with Christ, not only that you feel secure, you start acquiring and acquiring knowledge and wisdom that it's unbelievable. So I can give you one quick example. When I got in there, like I said, I was asking the Lord, why am I here, Lord? You know, I've been a good man. I've been doing this. I've changed my life. I've been saved, such, such. And when He took me through it, I found out that, one, because people couldn't understand why I found so much peace in this place while I was there, knowing that I was innocent. So when I was there, He cleaned out my system, because I was a pothead. He wanted me to get off of that. Then He wanted me to read the entire Bible from the beginning to the end. And then He knew the heart that I had, that cared about the kids in the hood that used to see the better side, where dogs used to say hello to each other, opposed to the dogs fighting each other when they see each other, and the drug dealers and so on. When I realized that I was in the pit, with a bunch of lost souls. So that was pretty much my biggest test. How do I relate to communicate with these people? So because I was studying and fasting and praying 6 to 8 hours a day, and all I would do is read, and we had Bible studies, He anointed me in such a way where I acquired so much information that was so powerful that I thought was incredible myself. For example, I had a kid come up to me who said, "Brother Todd, I don't think I'm going to make it tonight. I'm going to commit suicide. I want you to pray for me. And because I don't want no guy raising my 3-month-old daughter, and I don't want another guy with my fiance, girlfriend." And I said, "Well, brother," I said, "when you guys like you and I, when we're first introduced to Christ, he usually does do some things to show out, just to let us know and get our attention, to let us know who He is and He's real." I said, "Try Him and see what happens." So he said, "Okay, brother, no problem." 5 minutes later, I'm on the rail. He's on the main floor talking to a gang member with a gun to his hand and a gun matter. He said to the guy, "I put the gun to his head and I was going to take all his money. I put the gun to his head and I took all his money. And I would have blew his brains out if he would have moved." And, so God said, "Go talk to him." And I was like, "What can I say to this guy? Just talk to him. He didn't hear nothing." I said, "Go talk to him." I said, "Lord, whatever it is you want me to say to this guy, I'm going to walk up there and open my mouth and let you speak." And so when I walked up to the guy, I said, "Aren't you the young man that just had a 3-month-old daughter?" He said, yeah, that's me." I said, "Well, God told me to tell you, if it's okay, if you think it's okay for you to put a gun to somebody's head and blow their brains away, then you're saying it's okay for someone to put a gun to your daughter's head and blow her brains away. Because when God created the heaven and earth, He spoke it into existence. And because we're made in His image and His mankind, we were anointed with the same anointing to speak things into existence. But the same tongue that blesses you is the same tongue that curses you." And he said, "Wow, I never thought about it like that." I said, "Yeah, you have to speak life into your daughter. Yeah? She's going to be a doctor, a lawyer. You're going to get out of here. You're going to be a good dad." And he really got inspired. And kid you not, he was in my Bible study for maybe 2 nights. The next following week, he got saved. He went home on a gun charge, and he wrote me a letter 6 months later saying that he's married, and him and his fiance is doing good, and they go to church. And I was happy to hear that. And I was still in that place, believe it or not.
And what I'd like to ask in closing, we have a very young demographic rolling out, a large demographic of young readers. What would you like to say to them in closing?
When you're overwhelmed and you think you can't make it and the odds seem to be against you, just have faith, put your life in God's hands and trust him as you move forward, and he will take control. Give him the will. And don't be scared to be molded and shaped it to find out about who you are, because whatever was taught to you wrong has to be undone and taught to you right. So move forward in Christ and have a blessed life. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.